Welcome to the show, guys. Really fun episode today. We have Matt Hawk on the show. Dowling Catholic product, Iowa boy, now 6-year vet in the NFL as a punter. Really interesting story of how he made his way from West Des Moines to Miami to Buffalo, all over the place. And I think you guys will enjoy this one. Love having guys from the league on. Always interesting stuff. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome back into the, usually the friendship podcast now these days, but this is more of like a true wash up walk-ons. We've got a legitimate athlete here. One that recent former guest, Ryan Boyle, had very high praise for. Matt, by the way, just want to put that out there.
I didn't hear that.
So, you know, he was in our class of 2013 coming out of Iowa. He is a fellow Dowling Catholic Maroon of Ryan Boyle's, and he was the punter at Arizona State during our time in college. He now punts in the NFL. He has been with several different organizations in the NFL. Excited to talk about that. His name is Matt Hawk, and he joins the show today. Matt, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Dude, are you in a gamer's chair, by the way?
I am. So I have an office. I just moved out to Arizona not too long
ago. Yeah, shout out. Where'd you move?
Chandler.
No kidding.
Yeah. So kind of home base. That was kind of our thinking, just sick of moving around everywhere. And obviously went to ASU. Couldn't believe it took me 6 years to get back here, but finally got a home base and still not fully set up. But
one of my questions was going to be when you were going to move back to Arizona. I knew you went to Arizona State, and that's a question answered.
Yeah, it's took 6 years, and about 6 years too long.
What took so long? Why?
Well, I mean, my first few teams I were on were in the East Coast.
True, I guess.
And then, obviously, my first 4 years in Miami, like, I could train there and everything, so I really didn't have to leave.
I guess Miami weather.
And Miami's a cool place, too. Pretty unique spot you find yourself in.
Yeah, not too bad place to live for a little while, and then Buffalo, really cool city. Weather sucks, but
it's a different story weather-wise.
Different story, but great city, great people. Loved it up there, but not ideal to train in the off-season, really, but I did. And now Buffalo to Indy was kind of like, all right, we need to find somewhere as a home base. I can train and always count on being there and not have to worry about other factors and all that stuff. So
Arizona's nice too, man. I remember
it was.
I think you were there. You went to the Coles showcase the year that we came out of, right?
Yeah, so I would have been there in 17.
Oh, so you okay, because you punted right away, didn't you?
Well, I didn't redshirt, but I only played in like 4 games my freshman year. So
but it still got got burnt.
Yeah. So
Tell me about that. Why did that happen?
I think I was supposed to be the guy coming in.
Aren't we all?
But
no.
I mean, I played receiver in high school, so honestly, when I got the scholarship, I was like, all right, now I really got to learn how to punt. Because obviously in high school, we just did the rollout punt, and if it was open, I would just run it. And if it wasn't, I would just kick down the field because I was coordinated enough to kick a ball on the run and
dude, that's exactly what Ryan said you guys did.
Yeah, so it was like I never traditionally punted. And then
ever?
I mean, a little bit here and there on the side. And then at how I came to into punting was one of the Jamie Coles camps I was at Iowa State. Yeah. But, then it was in a real game, like real time, like very rarely did we ever traditional punt on that down. It was awful.
Well, very rarely did you punt at all, first of all. Yeah. We don't, you know, Drake was here during the Ryan Boyle podcast, and Drake actually lives in Arizona. That's why he was hype about.
Oh, cool, cool.
He lives in the fucking mountains of Queen Creek.
That's not that far.
Well, I'm really like South Santan Valley. I don't know how I have a Queen Creek address. It's like not, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, I'm basically Gilbert, but it's considered Chandler. Every time I tell somebody where I live, they're like, oh, you're in Gilbert. I'm like, technically Chandler, but yeah.
Do you have to go on the 202 or are you off the 101?
202.
Damn, you are almost Gilbert.
Like I'm 10 minutes to, not even 10 minutes to like the Santan area.
Village?
Yeah.
Dude, that's where I used to live in Gilbert.
Yeah, so I'm basically Gilbert.
Shout out to Gilbert, Arizona.
You guys can fucking have Friday night movie nights, I guess. So Matt, I wouldn't call us like close friends, but we know each other. Going all the way back to the Shrine Bowl of 2000. And actually, you know what? It actually goes further back than that because we played each other a lot in travel sports. We probably played each other in baseball and basketball. Might even played with you in basketball in some case. I don't, there was a lot of moving around in some of the travel teams. You were always an athlete, and you mentioned that you played receiver in high school. And this is sort of the reason, not the reason, but what reminded me that you would have been a great guest for the show. And it's because Ryan was talking about your athleticism. And during our time at Iowa, we had a kicker named Marshall Kane. I don't know if you know Marshall.
I know Marshall pretty well. Okay.
Have you kicked with him?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I figured so. The specialist community is kind of like that.
Yeah. And I would have named him the most athletic specialist to ever live of all time.
I mean, he is that guy.
Ryan said you're that guy more than Marshall, though.
He said you're more athletic than Marshall.
I mean, I don't think I can be the one to judge that.
For those listening, Matt's also like the most humble, just good dude you'll ever meet. This is another thing. Way back when, I think we had John Wiz on the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And Matt and John were maybe still super close, good friends. He said that this was another quote about you, that no matter what you did, you were always going to succeed at higher levels than other people. He said that. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty much true. Like, that's the vibe I got from you. So we can get into like your work ethic and maybe where you think that comes from. But did you get any legitimate recruiting receiver wise out of high school?
I think the punting thing, the one day at Iowa State I had was, I didn't know anything about punting, but
you went nuts.
It was a really good day, and Jamie Cole was there, so then like my name just spread everywhere from that point.
Yep.
And I actually had a full summer of like those college camps to go play wide receiver at.
Yeah, like skills camps.
To get exposure and stuff. And I remember the day after the Iowa State camp, I went to Northern Illinois to do the receiver stuff. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, you're going to punt. So I went there this whole day, planned to go play receiver, and went and punted on this side field with their special teams coach for the whole day.
Wow.
And then...
was that disappointing?
That sucks. That had to suck.
A little bit. I mean, I really wanted to play receiver in college. That was what I wanted to do.
And you were a dog. We opened the Shrine game with like an 88 yard bomb to you. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I mean, kudos to Coach Wilson being my high school coach, but for me, but
called your number right away.
Probably a little biased there, but I'll take it. But yeah, I mean, I really wanted to play receiver. Iowa State had offered me a gray shirt scholarship after that punting camp because they still had Kirby Vanderkamp. About another year, and then once I got an ASU offer, they were like, oh, we'll offer you. But then Iowa State and Iowa were like, well, you could try receiver too. And then Arizona State was like, oh yeah, well, we'll let you try receiver. I get to Arizona State day one.
No shot.
We're doing the it's like the offseason stuff on the field, running routes and stuff, and I was quickly put to the special teams field. So
dude, that's kind of
I didn't even run around. Like I didn't see anything. It was just, I was like, all right, I guess my life.
So I went to Iowa knowing I was long snapping, right? Yeah. I there was no grandeur of I'm gonna be Josie Jewell, the all-American linebacker. And if I know that if I would have been good enough to be like, yeah, man, you can come as a linebacker. Like, we'd love for you to long snap for us, but you could maybe like, hey, if you show us what you got, maybe you got a chance. And then the first day I show up and they're just like, dude, get in the fuck, go with the specialist, go over there. I would have been crushed.
It was a tough first.
Cause you move your life out there for that.
Which I was familiar with Arizona.
Not a tough place to move your life to, men. Let's just call a spade a spade.
Yeah. And I knew Arizona well. Like, I was born in Phoenix, but didn't grow up here. I've had family here my whole life. So every year for spring break, we come. So I was very familiar with it. So it wasn't completely foreign, but yeah, it took a little bit of an adjustment for me going playing receiver and all this basketball and all this stuff all year round. All right, now I'm just punting. Now I got to figure this thing out.
And you legitimately, once you got there, made that sort of mental realization of, I need to figure this out now. Like, it wasn't even before you had gotten to campus, or had you started to like really try and traditional punt before that?
I mean, just training before I got to college, I was a little bit, but I got with Jamie a few times before I left for college, but like literally in game scenario of all that kind of stuff, thrown in the fire.
How much did you guys use a rollout punt at Arizona State, or did you?
Zero.
None?
No. No.
So this reminds me of when Pat tells the story of him coming out of West Virginia and he gets drafted as a punter, and he was mostly a kicker in college.
Right.
And he hangs up the phone after they draft him, and he's like, I got to figure out how to fucking punt.
Yeah.
And that makes – God, that's so funny. Yeah.
Took a lot.
You probably weren't worried about it, though. Like, you're like I said, you're kind of a guy who figures shit out.
Well, I mean, I was here, and it was what I came here to do, so I put everything I had into it.
What was the roster situation like there?
When I first got here, I was a scholarship punter, and then they had another guy that was a JUCO transfer that was here to punt. But they ended up having the actual kicker, like our kickoff guy kick or punt, and he was doing the rollouts, which didn't make any sense to me. Except when I went in, it was all traditional. So there was no like, I don't know, transition period for me of doing both to transition to traditional. I was going in traditional, and they're having this guy do rollouts, and he was just rolling out and hitting ball with topspin, so I would just hit the ground and roll. They didn't want the ball 10 feet off the ground. Like, it was, I didn't know a whole lot about punting yet, but I was kind of
confused.
I was like, I can do this. Like, this isn't even seem like a real punt to me. Like, well, why can't I do this? He's kicking off. Like, you brought me here to punt. Why can't I do this? But I mean, it was what it was. And after my freshman year, it was really like, all right, you really got to figure this out, or probably never going to play.
College coaches have a funny way of.
But does that just not make any fucking sense at all?
No, it doesn't. I mean,
what's going on down there?
But Drake, you know this. Like, it's happened with you. It's happened with a ton of our teammates. Like, the coaches have this like idea of what they want to see on the field or how they want things to go. And they kind of just facilitate that. And then if you look at it from an individual player's perspective, especially because there's multiple of them, a lot of times it doesn't make sense with the pieces that they have. Like, you could be creating a different puzzle that might work out a little bit better, might look a little bit better, but they force pieces into each other that just don't work until they do. But fortunately, you must have figured it out.
I did. I mean, it still took. I mean, I'm still trying to figure it out, honestly.
Okay. All right, buddy. All right. We can only be so humble on this podcast. You're 7 years into the league at this point.
I've never led the league, so there's still, but yeah, it's been a journey for sure.
You, the other unique thing about Matt here is he is a lefty,
left footed, right handed,
which is the same thing I am.
Okay.
I mean, it never made a difference other than when we were playing 7-year-old soccer, but I don't find many other people like that.
Right.
And so that's, just because it, in a special teams nerd way, I always love to see the ball come off of a lefty's foot more than I do a righty's foot, just because it's more unique. Same thing with like a lefty snapper. I don't know if you've ever dealt with one of those. It's like, it's different.
We actually have one in camp right now.
Do you?
Yeah.
So you're dealing with both spins right. Coming in.
Yeah.
It's funny. What's his name?
Matt Hembro. He played at Oklahoma State. He's okay. A rookie. Dude can sling it.
Can he?
Yeah.
He's got a shot at the
probably
drop.
Probably one of the fastest snaps I've ever got.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sucks, because I've snapped you too, and you didn't say that about me. do you remember that day in – No, that's not true.
I was nah, like, you're
Do you remember that day when we went to the Iowa State practice field with my brother, you, me, and Pat?
That was awesome. I'll never forget that day.
It was so sick. Pat. It was what?
That was the first day I ever met Pat.
Same. I mean –
Like, who would have thought Pat McAfee would come to Ames, Iowa to get a session?
And do I remember it right that that was the summer before COVID? That was 2019?
I think it was, yeah.
I think it was summer 2019.
I think it was 19.
And you were still with the Dolphins at that point?
Correct.
Because you went Miami to Buffalo to Indianapolis. And forgive me, but you were not drafted by Miami, were you?
No, undrafted.
Picked up as a free agent after the draft.
Yep.
How quickly did that happen, and did you have an idea that that was one of the spots you wanted to go?
It was. They brought me in on one of the 30 visits.
Wow.
Their head special teams coach was at our pro day, which I was fortunate because we had Zane Gonzalez as our kicker who got drafted. So that helped me out quite a bit. Mm. But yeah, that was definitely one of the highest targeted spots that my agents had picked, just based on interest and opportunity. And because my year, no punter got drafted.
Really?
They drafted, no. It was all kickers.
Wow.
So that was a spot. I had a few interests elsewhere, but a lot of it was come compete for the job. But it's Sam Cook, who's a vet, Marquette King, like Brett Kern, all long-time vets. Miami had Matt Dar, who was coming off a really good year. But he was 2 years in, and he was a great punter too. But my agents thought that was best fit, and we went with it.
Yeah, definitely. You didn't want to go up against Sam Cook. That guy, he can do it all.
It's so many punts, and he's just Mr. Reliable, in my opinion. Like,
he's unbelievable. When they had him, Tucker, and Cox,
yep.
That unit, I don't know if other specialists consider that the greatest unit ever, but that has to be close.
I mean, I would say even during the draft when I would talk to Jamie, he was like, I mean, if you go anywhere just to get into a camp, try to go to Baltimore because you'll learn a lot from those guys.
They're unbelievable. Yeah. So you go to Miami, and well, first of all, let's back it up. At Arizona State, you mentioned Zane Gonzalez. For your guys' junior and senior years, you guys had to be up there as like probably punting and kicking combined one of the best teams in the country, special teams wise, at least numbers wise for you guys.
I would say it was more, there was more tension on it in our senior year. He won the Groza.
Yeah.
I had a hot start my senior year. So it was more our senior, I would say. I mean, he had recognitions from freshman year because he won like freshman All-American or something like that. So he had always kind of had the eyes, but then as I continued to grow and get better and put up numbers and stuff like that, and I mean, a lot of attention came. And I was fortunate, especially at our pro day with him there, that a lot of teams were interested in drafting. So it wasn't just scouts at our pro day. Like, we had coordinators there, which was huge.
That's dope. And that's really rare, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, we probably had 50 people out watching us do our workout.
Jesus Christ. Listen up, everybody. One of the sponsors of this show that makes us go right now is the Pork Producers. You've heard us pumping them up over the last few months. And more importantly, you've heard us promoting pork in general. For those of you that listen to the show, you know that the three of us are still trying to hold on to the athlete that we once were. And I personally do that by competing in CrossFit. With that comes a diet that has to be pretty dialed in. I need a lot of calories, I'm burning a lot of calories, and the food that I put in my body is fuel. And something that comes up in my meals and shows up on my plate consistently is pork. This is no BS. Not only does pork present itself in lean options, but it is extremely high in protein, and I need a lot of protein. In fact, if you're a human listening to this podcast, you too need a lot of protein, even if you aren't a CrossFit athlete like me. It's likely that you aren't getting enough protein, by the way. The more protein you eat, the more you are promoting muscle mass, which is a key factor in our health. Not to mention, when it comes to meat and other protein sources, your dollar will not go further with anything else. Pork is your go-to. Shout out to the pork industry for supporting the show. Help us support the industry back by eating some pork at your next meal.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. Chicken lips are the most beloved food in Iowa City. And if you don't know what a chicken lip is, you're really missing out. Our second passion is pizza. We're hell-bent on making great pizza. Yeah, you can get cheap pizza anywhere. But if you're a real pizza aficionado, you gotta try our meatball pizza. It's made with a natural starter. And like sourdough bread, it's soft and crispy and light as air. And the third thing that we're wildly and passionately in love with is great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
You want to know how mine went? It wasn't like that.
Did you have any punters or kickers your year coming out that would have done Pro Day with you?
No. I was, dude, it's such a sorry story. I didn't have a punter, didn't have a kicker. My pro day went like this. They showed up, and Iowa draws a good crowd for pro day.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Being an Iowa kid, an Iowa kid and all the talent that gets produced there. They probably draw, two guys from each team. So there's probably 50 or 60 guys there, not to watch the punters and kickers, but, they're there to watch the other guys. We start off pro day, right? We do all of our testing, and then we get to the on-field stuff. Everybody starts warming up, and our strength coach, Coach Doyle at the time, is like, hey, the Cowboys guy is going to run the special teams portion of this, right?
Who was the Cowboys guy at the time?
No fucking clue. I don't remember his name.
Well, it wasn't Bones who's there now, though, right?
No, I don't. No, that doesn't sound right. Yeah. So I'm like, cool. I go and talk to him, and he kind of takes me aside and goes, okay, we're going to do the linebackers, we're going to do the throwing, and then we're going to come around to you, and you're going to have, 20, 25 minutes to do your thing. I'm like, sweet, I'll be ready. And, I go kind of time my warm up to that. And, it comes around to the time when I thought that it was going to come to me, and I'm just snapping to one of our coaches, like over on the side. And after a couple minutes, the main drill ends. I think it might've even been the running backs were out there running routes and catching balls and doing stuff. And I just kind of noticed that like everybody else starts to turn and just watch these like practice snaps that I'm doing to my coach. And then at like three or four snaps later, I'm like looking and I'm like, as I would turn back to catch the ball, and I realized that like, well, my time has started now. I'm not going to be put through any drills. I'm not going to be told to do anything. I'm just snapping. And all these coaches are watching in this intermission period while the receivers warm up or whatever. I snapped 20 to 25 long snaps. And then the next drill started and everybody kind of like wrote down their notes and turned away and was not told to do anything else, was not directed to do anything else, did no short snaps, no operations. That's it.
That's wild.
And not only that, but our third co-host, who isn't here tonight, was told to his face by two of the scouts that I was putting up an insane pro day numbers-wise. They just wish I was a little bit taller.
No way.
That's what they said to Kevin, who's our third co-host. They basically had just I was a foregone conclusion that he's an athletic kid and he snaps it pretty good, but he's just not big enough. Not a single call during the draft weekend, nothing. That's how my career basically ended, was that day.
Oh my gosh. It was
tough. We're over it now. But
crazy you say that though, because I've been to two workouts now. And the amount of punting or kicking or snapping that's done at those workouts is so small. Like when I worked out for Indy, I came in 3 punts left, 3 punts right, 4 plus 50 punts, and caught 5 short snaps. That was it.
You took 10 reps?
Like that's Dude. How all these work. Most of these workouts are like that. They want you to have such a small sample size to make it like a game.
I mean, it makes sense. I get it, but damn, they fly your ass out for 10 reps?
Yeah. It was crazy. I got in that night at 2 in the morning, was at the facility the next morning at 9 a.m., was back in the shower by 10.
I love that, dude. That honestly, that's as good as it can go. Why draw it out and make it like a suffer session?
Right.
Get your work in and, hey, where do I sign?
Literally, it was it. And then I was fortunate enough to get signed. But, if I would have went home, I wouldn't have even been out of – I was living in Buffalo at the time still. I wouldn't have been gone from Buffalo for more than 13, 14 hours.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So anyway, you guys do crazy I will say this, first of all. That ball flies a little easier down in AZ.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Warm weather, thin air.
How pissed were you when you went from Miami to Buffalo? I mean, I understand that your mindset is probably
Buffalo is a sweet organization, but from city to city, it's a tough transition.
I mean,
I'm just saying that weather-wise.
Yeah,
I mean, I knew the weather was going to be bad. I mean, I played there 4 times while I was with Dolphins.
True. You guys are.
But the year that I got out of the 4 games I played when I was with the Dolphins in Buffalo, all 4 of those games were better than any game I played that season. I was actually in Buffalo. It was insane. And I'm not trying to make excuses or nothing. You still got to go out there and do your job. The other team has to go through it. But when I tell you, every Sunday was all right, here we go again. We got 25-mile-hour winds and it's 10 degrees. Let's go.
People really they don't know the specialist game. They don't understand how much of a difference 75 versus 35 makes.
And either temperature wise to me after being there, whatever, I'll take the cold. It's literally the wind, the rain, the snow, that to me is worse than just cold.
You spent 4 years in Miami?
Yeah.
And then how long in Buffalo?
Just one. Well, 1 year and then through the next camp.
In Miami, what's the contrast between those two, or I guess all three organizations, as far as how the special teams kind of flows as part of the, I guess you can compare it to Arizona State as well. How it flows as part of practice, how much attention you guys are given, what the coaching situation is like. What does that look like?
I mean, I'd say it's pretty similar. Practice, special teams, there's usually a special teams period early, maybe one other one later in practice, but I would say in the NFL there's more attention than college just because they have more time. You got guys playing special teams that's all they do, and they play for a long time, make a lot of money just playing special teams. So I think just the time and all that stuff is a lot more in the NFL, but I mean, practice-wise, I don't know about how Iowa did it, but our ASU practice was set up kind of like everywhere I've been in the NFL.
Ours was pretty NFL-like as well, so I have to imagine they're similar. We would do, before practice started, before stretch, was a special teams walk. And that walk was in prep for period number one, which was directly after stretch. So, you know, punt walk, we're hitting the at a 40% walk jog pace. We're hitting the looks that we're going to see in period. Cause once they get to period, right, they want it snappy. Like you don't want to waste time. Right. And then, you know, we get that, I don't know, what was it? 7 minutes at the first period of practice. And then basically at Iowa, then we would finish with a special teams period as well. So, never the same period, right? So if it was punt, you're doing punt and kick return or whatever. The only other reps that we would get would usually be, if it was field goal day, we would work field goal in as well. And that was in the middle of practice, kind of. Otherwise, there was like some game live scenarios, team, you know, where they're 2 minute drill and the specialists are included to try and, basically. I don't know how that looks at ASU, but
it was pretty much the same. I mean, we'd have sometimes there'd be a field goal period early and then they'd throw in a game winning field goal at the end. It was usually one of those things where, all right, we got to be ready for the last period because we might be up time.
Yep. And you wait 90 minutes and you're just like, how many reps do I take? When do I stay warm? Like, it's just this complete. Did you guys have a special teams coach that you guys were with during practice at ASU?
No. So our coordinator was also, I think he did linebackers.
Okay.
Same. So once we were done with special teams at the beginning, if they were outside, we go inside. If they were inside, we go outside and do our thing.
I'm glad it was the same everywhere. Yeah. We fucked around so much. Did you guys play like specialist golf inside the indoor facility and like?
We definitely stayed busy. Specialist golf. We did home run derby.
Fuck yeah.
Basically trying to pump balls over the fence. Whatever we could do.
Oh man. Cause you can't.
Part of it was staying loose too. Like kick, if you're going to go kick a field goal at the end of practice, you're not going to try to do a whole warm up again. Like part of it was just staying busy.
Yeah. It's annoying. And there is a bit of a position specific application to it because in a game it's the same thing, right? You're out there for 3 hours. I mean, we played games that were over 3 hours. You got to be able to potentially hit the opening kickoff and then hit a game winner, right? Yeah. So you have to, it's a really underrated and overlooked from a fan perspective or people outside of the position or even just football in general, like having to stay warm for any position for three and a half hours is really tough. But for a specialist, even more so because it's so skill specific and dialed in. And like in practice, you have to, you can't hit 100 full reps. You just can't
kick every day. Like,
no,
you need recovery because you have to be your best on Saturday or Sunday, whenever you're playing. And if you're out there kicking 500 balls during the week, good luck being fresh on Sunday.
What was your rep management look like in college versus now? Is it the same or has it changed? What's that evolved?
I'd say it was more in college. We did more, whether it was just before practice or during the period or whatever. But in the NFL, like early on, they want more reps just to get you kind of in that game flow. But like towards the end of the season, I'll have a pump period where I hit 6 balls. Or 4 balls or whatever it is.
What's the total daily volume look like on a day like that?
I mean, if usually it depends on how I feel.
Yeah.
I don't usually have like a snap count or whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
I'm usually kind of based on how I'm feeling. But like if I'm at the end of the season and I'm sore, like I'm getting warm, just warm enough to go to the period.
Yep. Yeah. So, I was always a quality, not quantity guy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this is what Drake and all of them would give me shit about, but there were days where even if it was a punt period day, right? And we had like a full, you know, I don't know, I'm probably taking 8 reps in the period. to warm up to be good for that, I might do 15 or 20 snaps. Like, we're looking at 23 to 30 full snaps for a practice, and that's it.
Right.
And
but you say that, and it sounds like a small number, but when you put it into, like, for me, like, if I'm doing 20 full punts,
yeah,
that's a good day during a season. Like, that's a heavy day.
It's a heavy day because, first of all, the intention that you're putting onto each one of those. Second of all, you're doing it at the highest level. And third, you have a rocket launcher on your hip, of which I have snapped to you. And that day at Iowa State was an absolute clinic by you and Pat. That was his little, like, I might come back, right, workout?
I think he wanted to come back to be a kicker.
Yeah.
Like, that was the whole deal.
I heard that the Bears wanted to bring him in, and that was the session with us was like his little warm-up of, like, let's see if I can do it.
Right. No, I believe it. Like,
and I think he went home, and he's told this on his show. He went home, and his quad, like, ballooned up and was swollen.
It was his knee. Yeah,
his knee was swollen for, like, 4 days.
Well, that's why he retired, because he had knee issues.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because he can make a bazillion dollars.
Yeah.
Being funny.
Yeah. He's living a good life right now. But, like, I don't know. You tell me, after that day, I think he could have done it.
Fuck yeah.
Non-health related, if he didn't have that issue. He stuck it.
He was smoking it. Yeah. And to be honest, I actually think you outkicked him that day. And you were probably on adrenaline like no other, getting to kick with Pat, just like I was snapping wise.
For sure.
Before that day, by the way, and I was never going to tell you guys this, I hadn't snapped a ball in 14 months.
Didn't seem like it to me.
Just pulled it. I mean, you know, a little bit of muscle memory there. It kind of always stays with you, but that was, I mean, to watch him work, and it was just unbelievable.
Yeah, he was great, dude. I had no idea what to expect. It was a great day all around.
When did you get that call that Pat and Jamie wanted to go do that day? Or did you know that was coming? Like,
that day?
Yeah. Okay. I was okay.
It was like y'all are going. All right. I need to hop in the car now and go.
Okay, I'm glad it was the same for both of us. Yes. Yeah, that was sick.
That's a cool ass call to get. I would have been hyped about that.
Because I mean, I didn't stay. I didn't come back to Iowa in the off season, so I usually come home about twice a year.
Yeah.
So it happened to line up as at a time I was home.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah. Did you ever imagine that you would be a punter in the NFL? Like, when did this has the reality even? I mean, I'm sure you're 5-6 years deep now, but it's sunk in now a little bit because you've been doing it.
Yeah.
But like, how long did that take to realize? Like, I'm just like, I was a receiver. I was a great. I mean, you were a great basketball player, great baseball player.
I mean, I would say in college, I didn't even think about punting in the NFL. Like, to me, I was like, I have no idea. Well. Until about my junior year,
okay.
my special teams coach my last 2 years actually was in the NFL for 11 or 13 years with Green Bay. So he came to ASU, me and Zane, last 2 years. And after my junior year, he was the one that was like, hey, like, you work on this and this, like, you could have a shot. So then, like, mentally for me, I was like, oh, well, if he's being legit, then I'm going to go at it.
Yeah.
Before that, I was like, oh, I'm going to finish my major and then start a master's. And like, and I did start a master's, and I was in it for one semester doing workouts for NFL teams and basically just stopped the master's degree.
Just don't need that anymore.
No.
Schools for fools, dude.
Right?
What was the plan? What is Matt Hawk doing right now if NFL punter isn't a job? Like, are you selling insurance, or like, what are you doing?
I started a master's in sports law and business, so
okay,
hopefully something along the lines of that. If I would have gone through
being an agent,
yeah, was actually another story. Like, coming out, nobody wanted to be my agent. My agent is actually a guy that used to kick at ASU a long time ago. And then I remember sitting in the offices at ASU, and they were like, to be honest, we're offering this to you because I kicked here and we want to give you an opportunity. We hope we get you into a rookie minicamp. And then the offseason blew up, pro day blew up, all these workouts blew up, and then they were like, you're going to play. Like, we got to get you somewhere you're going to play. And then here I am 6 years later.
Does it feel like a lot fell into place like that for you?
I think a lot of it, for special teams especially, is right time, right place.
Yeah.
I think having such good first impressions at, like, Jamie's combine thing, at my pro day, at these workouts is huge. Because if you have one bad day and that's all they see, you're crossed off the list no matter what.
Yep.
I was fortunate. Me and Zane were kicking two or three times a week, every week, doing our little workout program, and ended up having some of my best days whenever all these coaches were there and stuff, and kind of got my foot in the door that way. And then once I was in camp, it was, I got to worry about me. I got to do my thing. Can't worry about what this other guy's doing. Like, it's time to go. Like, if I'm gonna commit to this and make this team, like, you're all in or you're gone.
Yeah.
Went from never having hit a punt in a normal fashion to punt in the NFL. It's just pretty impressive. It's like the Australians, man, that are down there playing rugby their whole lives, and they come up here and they're punting in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane.
Does that fact sort of drive you in a way that you feel like maybe a little bit of imposter syndrome, right? And early on, it was probably like thick. Like, the first game you went out for ASU, you're like, dude, I'm just a receiver that has found my way into this punting role. And, like, we hope it goes well. And now you know that you know how to punt a little bit. But even maybe for the rest of your career, you'll never feel like, well, I wasn't, I didn't start going to Coles camps to be a punter from the time I was in ninth grade. I'm not as classically trained, mechanically sound as all these other guys. Like, I have to work X times harder.
Well, I think it keeps me motivated, as I feel like I haven't reached my full potential. You know, I feel like there's areas to improve in, and I've been kicking for 10 years now, not my whole life. So, I mean, to me, it's motivating knowing that there's higher steps to get to. And, I mean, it's what you work towards.
What do you, I don't know if people give a shit about this. This is totally selfish. Like, for you specifically, punting wise, what do you feel like is your biggest little thing that you're, like, trying to work on? Or is, like, I don't know if you break your goals down into, like, I need to work on this month or this year, this season, I want to be great at this. What for you is that?
I think at this time of year, I'm focused on kind of getting back into the swing of every day, or not every day, but every week after taking a break from the season. But I think everyone can say consistency as a punter. I mean, that's kind of a bad answer, but I would say just being consistent in different situations. Like, I have a tendency, like, when you play certain teams and all of a sudden you're a special teams coach, which you haven't done all year, is all of a sudden, all right, I need to do this week because we're playing against so-and-so. Just getting better with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like that can throw some guys off if you're not used to that, or if you've never had a coach that's done that. But, I mean, just overall consistency, I mean, it's – I know that's cliche for
– No. I get it totally what you're saying, because in the NFL, you're asked – people listening right now are like, what are you talking about? You just punt the ball, right?
Right. Yeah,
I just, and it's not that easy. It's not that easy.
On the sideline, all this, yeah.
Right, like, hey, what if we're backed up, but we cannot give up a return here? Like, we need to be able to hit it 50 yards to the sideline out of the end zone on a shorter length of a snap. Like, wait, like, I had, and you're talking about those specific scenarios where you're being asked to do something because it's the professional level. And it's hard to work on consistency in those things because there's so many different scenarios that you can be put into.
Right. And yeah, it's not something you just work on every day. It's
right.
You're working on putting. You're not maybe once or twice during camp when you go backed up or something like that. But in my experience, just like, let's say you're playing Tyreek Hill. You're not just going to punt the ball down the middle of this guy every time, which in the NFL, rarely anyone is asked just to punt the ball down the middle anyway. But maybe that day your coach is like, all right, we want every punt out of bounds. Well, I've been putting the ball out of bounds on purpose all year.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of stuff like that.
And it's tough to do that because you're not like, clearly I can turn sideways and kick it out of bounds.
Right.
But I need to kick it out of bounds at like 48.
And a punt doesn't go up and down in a straight line.
No.
And for me, if a ball turns over, it'll fade back to my left to the returner's right. If it doesn't turn over, it'll go the other way. So you're not working in straight lines either.
It's so specific. I wish people could understand it, but they never will.
Question for you, Matt. You ever thought about wrapping your shoe in lead tape? Give you a little more mass and more resilient surface for the ball to rebound off of?
I might have to try that. I don't know if that's legal, but
I think that's just like playing 4D chess. That's just like the engineer's way to punt the ball.
Might slow your leg down a little bit, but
yeah, but hardly, right? If you're increasing the mass, that's
yeah. I'll have to check into that. I doubt that's legal, but
hey, but you wouldn't be the first guy to do something illegal in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
You're not that guy. I know.
No idea.
What does your training look like outside of the punting, lifting? How, like, is it all about making sure your hip and your leg are just healthy all the time? Do you even care about getting stronger at this point? What does working out look like for you?
Yeah, I'm weird. I feel better if I do like full workouts.
Okay.
Like if I do extra stuff on the side, yeah, maybe it's more mobility with hip flexors or strength and all that kind of stuff. But like even throughout the course of the season, like if I'm not lifting and I feel like I'm getting weak, like I hate that feeling. So like, I mean, up until 2 weeks ago, I was a free agent and didn't know what my future looked like. One of my best friends out here, that was my college roommate, is a physical therapist out here now. And he goes to this local public gym down the street and he gets free guest passes, unlimited. So I was going with him Monday through Friday at 4:30 in the morning and just doing full body workouts with him.
Grinding.
He did some functional stuff because he's a physical therapist, so he kind of knows some of that stuff. But
sure.
I mean, it was full body every week. And up until 2 weeks ago, I was with him. And now
you doing hang cleans and stuff?
Hang cleans, yeah.
Are you strong?
Sheesh.
I try to be.
I mean, what are we throwing on the bar if we're hang cleaning?
I usually don't go too crazy. Usually I'll just do like 225.
Okay. All right.
But back in college, we did power clean. We never hang cleans. We were only power cleaning.
From the ground?
Yeah.
Wow. That's fun. What was your max?
Power clean?
Yeah.
I think the highest I got was 325.
That's good.
Really good, man.
Good. For a punter, right? Yeah. For a punter, that's good, right?
Yeah.
It's good for any normal human, really.
Yeah.
That's so funny. The Dolphins, you mentioned playing better in Miami than the season in Buffalo. And then what happened with Buffalo? So how did that transaction go down where you were released or whatever and then picked up by
Indy?
Yeah. Because did this whole Buffalo thing happen with the Ariza kid?
Yeah.
You see, you're the other end of this Matt Ariza thing.
Yes.
Holy shit.
I actually think there was an article that came out when all that came out, and it was a picture of me and not him.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's crazy. But yeah.
They say no press is bad press, but that is, in fact, bad press.
That's bad press.
Yeah. I mean, I feel bad for him, and he was obviously found not guilty and stuff.
I know. The Jets gave him a workout like today, is awesome. I mean, we need to talk about that on DHT, by the way, Drake, the whole situation there. What a wild story that was. But this kid, they drafted him, right?
They drafted him, yeah.
And he was, I mean, this guy's numbers in college were alien.
And he had a big leg.
And
he came in and, well, they re-signed me saying, oh, you're going to have competition. And then they drafted him. And they're like, oh, it's an open competition, which.
Is it?
Take it with a grain of salt. I was there focusing on just literally getting better and getting better film back again like I was in Miami and hoping for an opportunity. Kid has a huge leg. Not always great hang time, but the ball will go 70 yards. But yeah, that. So they cut me right before the last preseason game because in their eyes it was early enough to where I could still get signed with the team, which I appreciated.
That is nice.
And then literally they cut me the next day. I was actually at the driving range. And my agent calls me and goes, hey, like, pack a bag, you're going to Indy. I'm like, why would Indianapolis work me out? They have Rigoberto Sanchez, who is actually the same year as me, on a second contract, doing well. So I had no idea what happened or why they were doing it. I was like, oh, maybe they're just want somebody on practice squad just in case or something. I don't know. As I'm at the airport, I see the news that he tore his Achilles. So I didn't know anything about that until then. And they called me and I made it sound like I was going to be the only guy there. Basically, they were like, we literally just saw you 2 weeks ago because I played against them in the first preseason game. Like, basically come in, show us that you've still been kicking, even though I was literally only cut for one day.
Yeah.
And basically, if you do well, then the job's yours. I get there. There's eight punters. So then I was like, all right, well, it's clearly not just my workout. Like, that was the first workout I'd ever done. Got to go in there. I didn't know what the layout would be. Hit 10 balls, and that was it.
And you were the guy.
I was the guy.
Only one of the guys gets that call. The other seven.
You must have shit on those footballs.
Had a good day.
Yeah.
Hey, when a specialist says they had a good day, they went fucking nuclear.
Well, it's good enough to get signed, so.
Were any of the other guys there notable guys?
Matt Bosher.
Okay.
But he's been out of it for a while. I don't know how serious he's been about getting back in.
Right.
Cameron Dicker was actually there.
Dicker the kicker?
He was punting. Actually had a pretty good day. Colby Wadman, who was with Denver for a while, was there. I think all the other guys were guys that are either in the XFL or USFL that have been in NFL camps. But yeah, there are eight of us.
The specialist game is a crazy, especially that free agency come in for a workout game is a crazy world.
And that was my first time doing it. No idea what to expect. And I literally packed two pairs of shorts and two shirts because I had a return flight that obviously just never got on. So I had nothing with me.
That's so elite. That's so elite.
Insane.
And then you end up, I mean, you're their guy. And now all of a sudden Matt Hawk is kicking for the Colts. In punting for the Colts, which is what Pat used to be. Like, you're now Pat McAfee.
Well, I'm not there anymore.
Well, you were. Is what I'm saying at that point.
That's actually crazy because my first preseason game, Pat McAfee has a suite there every game.
Of course he does.
Sitting right where we come out. I didn't realize that he had told somebody to come say what's up to me, and I look over and waving at him like, oh my God, he's actually here. I didn't think he'd even be there. I thought he'd be doing a show somewhere.
I think he takes the boys, and they all sit like on that field level suite.
Yeah, there's a ton of them in there.
Yeah, that's so sick.
Yeah.
Man, what a wild situation. What do you have to do? What are the numbers right now to lead the league?
I think Ryan Stonehouse had the highest average last year of 52 or 54 or something like that.
Dude, that guy can smoke. He's from Colorado State, right?
Right.
Dude.
Oh. And, but punting is also all situational, right? Mm-hmm. So some guys that are, in my opinion, like elite punters may not even have a chance to lead the league.
Yep.
If they're hitting more plus 50s.
So yeah. There's a catch to all that. But yeah, I mean, that dude averaged like, he broke the record. He broke the NFL record.
He was a rookie last year, right?
Yeah.
Because the year before that, Iowa played Colorado State. He came to Kinnick Stadium.
Oh yeah.
And him and Tory Taylor had a fucking day.
Enough.
Back and forth. It was unbelievable. These kids were just it was a show. It was like the Harlem Globetrotters of football.
And that kid wasn't even drafted either.
Stonehouse wasn't drafted? And that's the thing about specialists is like there's so much talent. I tweeted this during the draft this year. I am shocked at how many teams, in my opinion, waste a draft pick on a kicker or punter or long snapper even when the talent pool that's just waiting. And like, you know, there's guys, I think your long snapper from college, or at least there was an ASU long snapper in my class.
Mitchell Fraboni?
Fraboni, is he still doing it?
He signed with Denver.
He was on in the pool for like 5 years before he ever got a shot at anything. Like it's unbelievable how long guys will hang on to the dream.
He signed with Denver last year when their snapper got hurt, and now he's a guy.
Motherfucker,
or at least competing.
That pisses me off.
You're too short. What do you want?
I'm too short. Fraboni's probably like what, 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, probably.
Yep. I mean, I snapped him under the table at the camp we went to, but 6'4", right?
I would be surprised. I've had guys that were definitely shorter than you.
What?
Do you know a guy named Lucas Gravel?
Yeah, from TCU.
Yeah, he was in camp with me in Miami.
He has bounced around. He must have an incredible agent, because the only other guy that is around my height is Weeks from Texas, from Houston. And he's like a longtime vet who just got in on it and has been there forever. Otherwise, you know, the average is like 6'2", 255. Yeah.
When I got to Miami, John Denny?
Denny.
Played for 15, 16 years. I mean, he was a D end in college.
I was going to say, what is he, 6'5"?
Yeah, he's huge.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
I would say, like I said earlier, though, specialists are right time, right place.
Absolutely.
If you could get an opportunity and put your foot in the door there, then that's what it takes.
Last month we had Caleb Shudak on, who just finished up kicking for the Hawks, and he is the lead guy in the clubhouse right now for the job in Tennessee. Yeah. And again,
he played a lot last year, didn't he?
So he was brought in when I'm forgetting the guy's name.
Bullock. Randy Bullock.
Yeah, when Randy got hurt. And he played one game. He went 3-for-4 in that game. And they kept him on P squad all year. And as the offseason came around, Bullock was too expensive. They cut him, and a lot of Caleb's story is a lot of the similar stuff, like right time, right place. He was the guy that, and it is what it is. So it's been really, really cool to see a kid from West Des Moines, Dowling, go and do his thing. It's pretty incredible.
I appreciate that.
And I appreciate it more than anybody, just because I like the ins and outs of it, but seeing a guy go do it in the league is pretty dope. So we appreciate your time. We really do.
What about G-Bone? You going to throw G-Bone under the wagon here?
I am. I was going to throw Grant under the wagon. We usually let the kid ask a few questions.
Disrespecting G-Bone. When we get to Nashville, Bubs, just know that I'm gonna tie him up. I'm gonna let you have your way with his fucking old ass, the geriatric motherfucker thinks he can just call grown men kids.
Sounds weird, Grant. Ask away.
Well, Matt, so I do have a question. Obviously, with the NFL has changed some rules lately with kickoffs and fair catches. But is there anything that you would want to see that, or in terms of rule changes that hasn't happened specifically to punting?
Punting wise, there really hasn't been much that's changed, other than that they don't really throw flags for running into and roughing the punter anymore. But
it would be nice to protect you guys a little bit more.
I mean, I've been smoked the past few years, and the ref goes, "Oh, you're good."
Is there a punter strategy into like eating those hits? Like maybe like try and make like is there like okay I'm gonna like Is it like a little bit like flop, try and get a flag here?
I would say it looks more like flopping most of the time, but in reality, like, I don't have any feet in the ground. I'm in the air, so if I get touched at all, and I'm in an awkward position, so normally you're just trying to land and not hurt yourself. So
that's what I always assumed. I mean, it's they got quite the head start at you too, and you're just like, you're just standing there.
They weigh like 100 pounds more than me too.
Yeah, and then my second question, just kind of a fun one. I know you're into golf. You've been posting a lot of golf stuff lately. I just want to know, how's the swing looking? What are we shooting these days?
Still inconsistent. No pro. I need a lesson bad, but my best day ever, I shot 75. But
75?
I'll go out and shoot 75 one day, and the next day shoot 95. So inconsistent.
My man.
Usually mid-80s, low to mid-80s on an average. Day, but
that's a good golfer.
I would do anything for 80s.
I've been playing a lot. So
how many times you get out there?
Usually anytime I can find somebody to play with, I go.
Seriously?
Before I got signed here, I probably 2 or 3 times a week.
Well, Drake lost his clubs. Otherwise, you could golf with him.
I got a spare set if you want to come.
You left-handed?
No,
he's right-handed. Right-handed.
Well, so am I. I'm right-handed technically, but I play golf left-handed.
Really?
Yeah, man. And I was at a bachelor party for our buddy Bo, and my golf clubs disappeared, and nobody else.
Bo.
Oh yeah, Bo Bauer. Yeah. You guys played the Shrine game together.
Yeah.
Yeah. His bachelor party was down here just a couple weeks ago, and we were playing golf, and then my clubs just belong to the universe now. They're nowhere to be found.
Interesting.
Yeah. Wow.
Fun story.
There's always rental sets. So.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Matt. We appreciate your time, and good luck on the course. Good luck this season.
Thank you.
And just keep raking in the outrageous money you get to kick footballs. It's I think it's one of the best things on earth that specialist.
I'm trying, so they won't have me no more.
Keep Absolutely. Crushing balls and running that pension up, dog.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you guys for listening to our episode with Matt. Check out the Patreon for extra content, and we'll talk to you next time. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.